Good morning. It's 8:04 and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host this morning, Lisa Loving. Hey, this is the annual My Sister's Birthday special honoring veterans. My sister Mickey, a Navy veteran. She lives up in Whidbey Island along with a whole bunch of other Navy veterans. And we're going to be asking veterans today, how do you want to be honored by your country, Steve Nassar? How do you want to be honored by your country? And also, we're going to have a focus on secrecy, okay? So, you know, the other question we're putting out there is speculation. What was the California plume in the sky? Okay, we could talk about that a little bit. But our guest on secrecy, we're very, very, very lucky and honored to be joined this morning by Jesselyn Radak. She's the Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project, the nation's leading whistleblower organization. Jesselyn, thanks a lot for being here with us today. Jesselyn is, we're on the line with her from Washington, D.C. Jesselyn, have we got you on the line? Okay, the magical engineering pixie is going to work on that engineering opportunity there. But Jesselyn Radak, born in Washington, D.C., she is the author of The Canary in the Coal Mine, Blowing the Whistle, in the case of American Taliban John Walker Lind. Jesselyn came to prominence as a whistleblower after she disclosed that the FBI committed an ethics violation in its interrogation of John Walker Lind, who was captured during the 2001 invasion of Afghanistan. He was interviewed without an attorney present, and the Department of Justice attempted to suppress that information. The Lind case was the first major terrorism prosecution after 9/11. And I believe Jesselyn Radak is still under investigation by the Obama administration. We're gonna get her on the line toot sweet. Jesselyn, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Jesselyn, I personally do an annual special just around Veterans Day because I come from a military family. And one of the things that strikes me about so many of these issues around war and secrecy, and as you are an expert in whistleblowing, people who are in the military, people who are in the system, they have different things to say about these issues when they're just around family. And sometimes I like to crack open the window a little bit on these issues. But I wanted to throw the microphone to you. I think you're an expert in whistleblowing. You're an expert in government secrecy. You were in a unique position back at the time of 9/11 and when the United States first invaded Afghanistan. Talk a little bit about your involvement in the John Walker Lind case. Who were you? Where were you when you became privy to this information about how he was first arrested and interrogated? How old was he?
He was in his, I believe, late, either 19 or 20, I believe late teens, early 20s. And I was an ethics attorney with the Justice Department Professional Responsibility Advisory Office. And I was called when we had first taken him into custody. And the call regarded the ethical propriety of interrogating him without counsel, which I was told unambiguously that his parents had retained for him.
Mm. And so your role as a whistleblower, you pursued this information even though, I mean, by and large, tell the story. You pursued this information
sure.
Even though what?
Well, basically, the FBI ignored our advice of the ethics office not to interrogate him without a lawyer. And then the criminal division had called me back a couple days later and said, what do we do now? And I said, well, you can use that interview for intelligence gathering, but not for criminal prosecution, which is exactly what the Justice Department did. And my role as a whistleblower came about when I inadvertently learned that the Justice Department had ordered copies of all correspondence related to the interrogation of John Walker Lind, and that only two of my more than dozen emails had been turned over. I resurrected those emails from my computer archives. I gave them to my boss, and I resigned. And I also took home a copy in case they disappeared again.
And they did.
And they did. I mean, they were missing from the file when I went to check the file to comply with the discovery order. That's why I had to resurrect them from my computer. And by all statements being made by the Department of Justice during the prosecution, it was evident to me I had more than a reasonable belief that they had not been turned over to the court. And I ended up going to the media with them, which resulted in a surprise plea bargain deal on the eve of his suppression hearing.
Wait, explain that a little bit more. Who plea bargained? Talk again.
John Walker Lind and the government ended up entering into a last-minute plea bargain deal literally the night before he was supposed to, there was supposed to be a suppression hearing into who did what to him and whether or not that could be used in the criminal case. And I think a lot of information was going to come out during that hearing about the U.S. torture and coercive interrogation techniques, because you may remember the trophy photos of John Walker Lind that were circulating around the world at that time of him gagged, bound, tied up, kept in a box, you know, with bad words written across a blindfold and with a bullet in his leg. So it was not a pretty picture that was going to come out. But again, this was the first high-profile terrorism prosecution after September 11th. And I don't think they certainly didn't want any of the embryonic torture program to be exposed.
It's amazing to look back on that because, of course, as we know, over the past, 10 years almost, many images, issues, cases around torture by U.S. agents, U.S. soldiers have come out since then. And it's amazing to look back on. You know, this was in 2001. 2001?
Right, 2001. And it's even more amazing that no one has been held accountable for it. Even as of yesterday, the government again slammed the door on accountability. The CIA officials who destroyed videotapes depicting the waterboarding of Abu Zubaydah and al-Nashri, who were both prisoners in secret CIA prison camps, there was no criminal complaint will be brought against them. And meanwhile, the administration is busy going after people who were trying to tell the truth and blow the whistle during that time period. And that, unfortunately, goes for Obama as well as Bush, which is very disappointing.
This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with attorney and Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project. Her name is Jesselyn Radak. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. I'm drilling down through this stuff because, to me, one of the biggest issues that we're looking at here is how do we honor veterans? Who are the veterans? We're creating new war veterans every day in this country. And this is basically some of what people end up doing. This is basically also what ends up happening to some of our veterans. When we torture people, then the people on the other side torture us as well. And, you know, Jesselyn, one of the things that really gets me is when you look at John Walker Lind, I feel like, wasn't he from Santa Cruz, California? An idealistic...
Marin County, California.
Idealistic teenager who looked around and said, you know what, I'm so outraged at what's going on, I'm going to go fight too. Plenty of people do. My sister did. You know, this is, I always do the show in honor of my sister Mickey, right? She was a teenager. She was 17 when she went into the military. She went into the Navy back in the 80s. Young people, idealistic people who want to make the world a better place, and they have, you know, a certain sense of who they are, and they decide, I'm a warrior, I'm going to go do it. You know, what do we do around bringing our young people home and making sure that our young people have they have their rights protected, they have the services they need? And it's people like you, Jesselyn, who actually kind of looked at the situation and went, wait a minute, this is wrong. It's, we're relying on whistleblowers and a part as, you know, as taxpayers who foot the bill for this stuff. We're relying on people like you to let us know what's really going on the inside. Can you tell us what is the status, what ended up happening with John Walker Lind, and what's the status of your case? I mean, were you prosecuted as a whistleblower?
John Walker Lind ended up pleading guilty to two relatively minor charges, and he's serving 20 years in jail. So he will be out sometime, I guess, in his 40s. Meanwhile, another guy who was caught fighting alongside John Walker Lind Yasser Hamdi, also who had a claim of American citizenship, was released and let go scot-free after the Supreme Court gave the government a so-called shellacking in his case. In terms of my own case, the criminal investigation against me closed with no charges being brought, and the bar referral in Maryland was dismissed. The D.C. bar complaint has now been pending for 8 years against me, although my law school classmate, John Yoo, the Obama administration, did not see fit to refer him to the state bars in which he's licensed for being the architect of torture policy. And in terms of the no-fly list, my name has apparently been removed, for which I'm grateful, since I think it's a waste of taxpayer dollars to be keeping me, people like me off of airplanes.
People like you and everyone named Jesselyn Radak, too, by the way. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, exactly. It's not exactly a common name. I was going to say, in terms of whistleblowing, some of the most important stuff we've learned about the war has come about because of whistleblowers. Joe Darby blew the whistle on the Abu Ghraib scandal, and he suffered because of that, and his life was in danger because of that, and the life of himself and his family were threatened. You know, other more recent whistleblowers, whether or not you agree with leaking documents to WikiLeaks, I don't think, many people would try to argue that's completely not in the public interest to know. I mean, there were front page headlines all around the world the next day about what was unearthed in those documents. Yet, obviously, the whistleblower is going to be tried militarily, Bradley Manning, and is charged with a whole host of crimes. So I do think that that whistleblowers often will divulge or confide this stuff in family members, not all the time, but sometimes ahead of time. And that would be true, for example, in the case of the Stryker Brigade that's been going around executing innocent Afghani civilians for sport. One of the men involved in that confided in his father before blowing the whistle. And again, the whistleblower in that case was also completely beaten up and has had his life threatened.
Stryker Brigade up there in Olympia, take my heart out, rip it into tiny pieces, throw it on the ground and stomp on it. That Stryker Brigade, that breaks my heart into 1,000 pieces. Because here at KBOO Community Radio in the evening news department, we covered the first movement where the Stryker Brigade was transferred from, was it Fort Collins or something like that, in the Midwest, transferred, I want to say, 6 or 7 years ago over here to Fort Lewis, right? And now it's Fort Lewis McChord Joint Base. That Stryker Brigade, they are the ultimate cannon fodder in this war. They started out rolling into, I want to say, Afghanistan in these armored vehicles. A Stryker vehicle is an armored vehicle. It's like a tank, except that it was established early on that those tanks were not effectively armored. So then after a couple of years, the military decided they were going to super armor those vehicles, but they weren't going to do it anytime soon. So these Stryker brigades, they've been rolling into, they're like the first line, the first ground units that are sent into these dangerous areas. And I feel as though in this particular Stryker Brigade unit, some huge proportion of the guys in this unit were killed. I mean, the Stryker Brigade, it absorbs among the biggest numbers of fatalities in this war. And then we see where these young people, they just, I mean, it's like they're destroyed emotionally and physically. And so, in today's paper, a lawyer for the Army Staff Sergeant accused of being the ringleader in the killings of 3 Afghan civilians tried to cast doubt on the charges Tuesday at a hearing that will determine whether the soldier faces a court-martial. Calvin R. Gibbs is finally going on trial after all these other young people have. And, I mean, Jesselyn, here's the thing that strikes me. Okay, even you, right, yourself, John Walker Lind, Yasser Hamdi, Calvin Walker, and I come back to my sister, 17 years old. We're talking about young people who are put into the military. And you yourself, Jesselyn, were you 30 years old when you looked at what happened with John Walker Lind? You're very young for an attorney. So much of this onus it falls on young people. I mean, can you talk about that a little bit?
No, absolutely. I think it's a huge responsibility that falls on young people when they're being asked to make very tough moral judgment calls. And you see that, you know, on the other side of things with the young lawyers like John Yoo, who were writing torture policy. There are young people
for the Bush administration. He was the Bush administration attorney mentioned, I mean, I don't even know. Sometimes I'm not even sure if it's good or bad, whether people are held accountable, but he should have been held accountable, even though, Jocelyn, did he know what the hell he was doing? Did he? I mean, what? Yeah, I don't know. John Yoo?
No, he knew what he was doing. He wrote a book about it, and he made an entire career out of it. You know, I can't speak for people in a war zone because I haven't been there myself. I mean, I believe that most people who are fighting the war are not doing what the striker brigade, that kind of conduct. But I believe also you get put in that kind of environment and we lose sight. You know, then you see videos like the Apache helicopter and WikiLeaks where soldiers are gunning down innocent civilians.
Collateral damage.
Video game. You know, and again, this is not an attack on the soldiers. It's an attack on the system and the way we framed these wars. And Iraqi and Afghani civilians who are unarmed innocents as still being the enemy. So I think people end up being put in a really terrible situation at very young ages. And their moral compasses are not fully formed. And this certainly does not help to push them in the right direction, you know, and that is compounded by the fact that we do not have any kind of adequate whistleblower protections when they are seeing things and they do say in emails to their family or to other colleagues, wow, I think this is really messed up.
Yeah.
I think there's something wrong going on here.
So this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. This is the annual My Sister's Veterans Day special. I'm not even going to name my sister. I love her. We just don't get along very well. And this is one of the ways that we don't get along is talking about issues around the military, militarism, and war that the United States gets involved in. I come from a military family, and we're going to open up the phone lines. Are you a veteran? How do you want to be honored by your country? Also, we're looking at secrecy today, always with the military. We're looking at secrecy. Speculation, what was the California plume? Okay. Pentagon said Tuesday it did not know what created a vapor trail that crossed the skies off the Southern California coast and resembled a missile launch, as if they would tell us if they did know what it was. Anyway, the number to call is 503-231-8187. How do you want to be honored on Veterans Day? What was the California plume? 503-231-8187. 8187. Don't wait till the last 10 minutes to call, okay? Give us a call now and let us know what you think about that stuff. You know, Jocelyn, I mean, we talked about young people. My dad was only 16 when he went into the Navy, right? And he became an air traffic controller. I have actually almost all of my relatives that went into the military were teenagers when they went in. And there were reasons why. My dad, he grew up in Arizona, and his family didn't have enough money to feed everyone. So his mother signed a form, and she sent him off, and she was like, great, he's going to get food now. Up there in Prescott, Arizona is where they were growing up, just after the Depression. My sister that went into the military when she was 17, she got married really young and her husband beat her. He threw the TV at her and she just, that was it. She went and joined the military, moved to the other side of the country, eventually to another country, got the hell away from him. But, you know, it changed her life forever. And I don't even need to speculate about that. I bet she's not the only one. And I bet my dad's not the only one that had that kind of experience. And, you know, Jocelyn, I can see that we have a caller coming in, but can you talk a little bit about the Government Accountability Project and the work that you do?
Sure. We're the nation's leading whistleblower organization, and we do policy outreach and legislative initiatives as well as represent clients who are whistleblowers. And right now we do have a military whistleblower, but we also have Thomas Drake, who was one of the people who, properly went through whistleblower channels to talk about a secret NSA domestic surveillance program that lacked legally required privacy protections when a better, cheaper, and more effective legal program was available, and he's being skewered. So, I mean, the secrecy that permeates the military also is on the civilian side. We're seeing that. And it's not just Bush. It's occurring under the Obama administration. And, you know, in Drake's case, revealing that the NSA was committing crimes and that there were alternatives that would have kept the government both fully within the law while also enhancing the government's ability to provide for the common defense is now being criminalized. Mm. And that just seems very backwards to me.
Okay, Jesslyn, we do have a caller.
Okay.
Hey, Story, what's going on? What do you think, Story?
Well, why are they being called whistleblowers when they're actually people who are just honoring their duty oath? The duty oath is the greatest honor and the greatest responsibility, because if you've read it, if you're familiar with it, it reminds you that the government, you are the government, and that's the honor that you are trusted to make your own decisions, moral and otherwise, about whether or not you are complying with the duty oath. And I think the duty oath, rather than the Ten Commandments, should be engraved in stone in every public building. Are you following me at all?
Story, were you in the military?
I took the duty oath, yes. So the point being that if you hearken to the words of the duty oath.
What are they, Story? Tell us the words of the duty oath.
Well, the first order of responsibility in the duty oath is to protect and support the Constitution.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, and it's the Constitution that makes gives you the power, gives you the responsibility, and everything else follows from that. And that means the government, the honor of the government, or the duty of the government, and it's on you as an individual. Every individual has that responsibility to protect the Constitution in the light of their understanding of what that how that Constitution is to be interpreted or what its meaning is.
Okay, so, right on. Story,
I agree with the caller completely. I think a lot of people who are labeled as whistleblowers never thought of themselves that way because they were just doing their job. And in the example of Tom Drake, he took the oath to uphold the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, and I would emphasize and domestic. He took that oath four times, both when he was a military member and as a civilian intelligence employee, and he privileged that oath and more than he did various little secrecy agreements that the government is saying he violated, which he didn't. I agree. I think people, if they are trying to uphold their duty, their duty oaths, and that actually is getting them in trouble.
Mm. Well, okay, just before signing off, the point is, though, that duty to the Constitution supersedes the duty to your superiors. You
yes.
are the superior. Okay, thank you.
Wait, Story, wait, don't go. Story, are you there? Story, how do you want all of us in the country to honor you as a veteran, a person who was in the military? How would you prefer that we honor you? Because I would love to honor you, Story. I think you're totally juicy.
Well, the the honor, again, comes back to being entrusted and being having conferred upon the privilege of being able to take that duty oath. The duty oath itself is an honor. And that's the reason it needs to be engraved in every public building, not the Ten Commandments, but the duty oath.
Okay. All right.
Because it affirms you as a citizen, and it affirms that it's you who actually are the foundation of government. And the government has no meaning as an entity except on behalf of you as the citizen. Remember, of the people, by the people, for the people. So thank
All right.
you. Bye.
Thanks, Story. That's cool what Story just said. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're on the air live with Jesselyn Radak. She's the Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project, the nation's leading whistleblower organization. Here in our Veterans Day special, the day before Veterans Day, we are asking veterans, and you know what, veterans family members, to give us a call and answer the question, how do you want to be honored by your country as a veteran? Or, you know, in my case, with my dad, my sister, all of my uncles and a whole bunch of my cousins, how would you prefer your family members be honored as veterans by this country? And the number to call is 503-231-8187. And speaking of whistleblowers, speaking of secrecy, by the way, here's the other little side question I'm putting out, and I would love to hear from you. What was the California plume? The obviously a missile. I mean, there's plenty of video of it that went off on, I think it was at the like rush hour on Monday, for Pete's sake. And, oh, great, we have a copy of the Oath of Enlistment, and we'll read that a little bit later. But I'm asking people to give us a call. What was that plume? 503-231-8187. I'm saying it was like some character that was like working at one of those military bases in Southern California, and he leaned against the big red button, and he's going to be played in a future movie by, I don't know, some comedian. What do you think, Jesselyn? What was the plume? Did you read about the plume? Did you see the video?
You know, I heard about it, but I'm not up on that. I don't know what it was.
It's going to be something
that
a whistleblower is going to have to call us up and tell us what that was.
That's right.
It was like Eddie Murphy's young cousin who leaned against a button or something like that. I'm putting that out. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. And we have Beth on the line. Beth, what are your takes?
Well, my mom was honored as a veteran 6 years after she died. That was 6 years ago. She was 87. She was in World War II test pilot. She tested the planes before the men took them up, and she ferried them across the Atlantic.
What's her name? What was your mom's name, Beth?
Mary Jane Kenward.
Oh, her name
and
is Mary
she,
Jane.
She just recently was honored, thanks to the ex-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who finally decided these women needed to be honored as veterans because they were not called civilian,
right.
Civilian pilots, service pilots, and they crashed, and they had to pay when they crashed. They had to pay and bury their own. They had to pay for their own training. The group was called the WASP, and they were just honored March 9th in Washington, D.C., and given the gold, the Congressional Gold Medal of Honor.
Beth, what I hear
Every
you saying is a good way to honor veterans is just recognize who the veterans are and what they did.
Do you know who really fought that not happening? And he had to be included in the ceremony.
John McCain.
I have received her gold Congressional Medal of Honor. Mm. She never knew that she was going to get it or get honored. And she marched in every veterans parade with her wings. I mean, she was a test pilot. She was a really incredible pilot.
Amazing, Beth. Thanks a lot. And the number to call is 503-231-8187. We have Bill on the line. What's going on, Bill?
Oh, it's a good topic. I've served in the military for a long time, 20 years.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment about, we have the problem currently is, this is not a comment, it's we the people, part of the Bill of Rights, which is the first part of it, and I know it, and being a person in my 80s, I understand very much what the oath, the military oath of justice that the man earlier was speaking about. And it's very important for young people to understand that. It's our corporations and Wall Street is not listening to us. They're not listening to these oaths. They are also responsible for these oaths. 350 million people live in this country and around the world, and we have these banks and Wall Street sucking our blood and forgetting about the oaths and the people running them. And they don't even live in the United States. And whether they're Americans or not, I'd like to really know.
Mm.
These are the things that Homeland Security needs to look into. The high-ups, the mucky-mucks up there in Wall Street and the banks, they are stealing us blind, and there's no responsibility there, and there needs to be something done about it before we have serious revolutionary problems in our country. Now, I am a person of assets in the middle class, or was, and I'm going to lose that, and so are the rest of us, unless we come down and do not allow the Supreme Court to consider these corporations entities, because they can walk all over us because they don't pay inheritance tax. All the billions they make goes from one to the other, and that's why you have groups like various corporations. I worked at different ones, and they do accumulate huge wealth, huge, huge. And this is beyond us people. And we, the people, as I have a purple heart, and I'm not well. And for me to speak out about something where I felt that the original patriots that was involved in this country to now see it go and disappear for the young people.
Yeah.
Absolutely a travesty.
Bill, how can we honor you? How would you like to see us honor you? Because I would love to honor you right now.
Well, then we're going to have to go after the Supreme Court and the corporations that are blamed for the dismantling of the United States of America.
All right.
They're blamed for it.
Thanks.
It's not us. The little people don't have a voice. When you have 35,000 lobbyists speaking for corporations and nobody speaking for little people, the Chamber of Commerce, totally overwhelmed.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot for calling. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Our guest live on the phone, Jesselyn Radack. She's the Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project, the nation's leading whistleblower organization. We're asking people to call up. How do you want to be honored by your country if you're a veteran? And the number to call, 503-231-8187. We have Tubac. Tubac, what's going on?
Hi.
Yep. You're on the air.
Just want to put the point. I'm Tupac Amaru, and I'm part of this continent, and I just want to put the point. You're asking for honor your veterans, and I just want to remind you also, it is a part of your system who is suffering, your soldiers, or all these patriotic people who fight in these wars, the wars who genocide all around the world. And just let you know, just remind you, your constitution is a foundation for genocide. And now you can see the examples where your soldiers, your veterans, now they are treating the worst things is happening for them, for Medicare and all this stuff. Just I mentioned you, is this program sounds really hippie feeling, but the reality, don't forget the reality. The reality is it's a genocide. This country is it's a genocide country, and it, with the patriotism and all this stuff, it's committing every day, every single day, every generation, putting them, everybody together to be a genocide, participating in the genocide. That's my point, and have a good day, man.
Tupac puts his finger on the pulse there, looking at how this country does perpetrate genocide all over the galaxy. Let's just call it all over the galaxy, because we're talking about traveling to the moon, even though we can't seem to get the Challenger lift off, whatever, this past week. Back to what Tupac was talking about, and again, looking at our guest who we still have live on the phone, the role of whistleblowers, right, in letting us know exactly what our government institutions do, looking at the issue of WikiLeaks, which came out just before a half million documents released just before the U.S. elections. that the military, the Pentagon, the White House, all these government officials said that this information is just going to make U.S. soldiers be in danger. And yet the whole point of the WikiLeaks, all of the WikiLeaks document dumps regarding the Iraq and Afghanistan wars was to show exactly the insidiousness of the genocide that we, our sisters, our dads, our cousins are perpetrating, especially in the Middle East in particular. And one of the things that struck me about the WikiLeaks document dumps, actually, was that even as members of the media came out and said, this is unconscionable, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, they don't have a right to let anybody know anything that's going on with any of this information. Actually, though, within all the weeks since that document dump, I think it was November 1st, just before the elections, or maybe it was the end of October, now the Guardian newspaper in London created an interactive map that showed all of the civilian deaths that were reflected in those documents. And it looks like a carpet across Afghanistan and also into the Pakistan border, I believe, because that is the other side of this issue that we're looking at, is how we turn our own people into killing machines to basically, like Bill said, enforce corporate interests, let's be real about it, you know, in such a way that as Jesslyn has been talked about, the people who actually are forced to do this work, or the people who are caught in the web of trying to let regular taxpayers know what's really going on with their money, those people are discredited, imprisoned, destroyed, basically. And we do have a number of callers. Stevie Ray, I'm so glad you called. Stevie Ray, what do you think about this situation?
Well, I mostly called to say thank you to my grandpa, Ray, my Uncle Steven, who I'm named after, military corpsman in the Navy. And he never said one bad word about the military until Bush got into office, and he promptly retired and said with a steel face, those Saudis are lying to us. Now you watch. You watch what they do to us. And how long did it take before 9/11 came? Mm. And my grandpa made freaking caskets for the military. It's what got my grandparents and their six kids through the Depression. And I recently got a call from him, said, you're living in Portland, Oregon. You get down to that working families party, and you put your money in that state bank they're talking about, and you starve out those bastards.
Okay. All right, Stevie Ray. Thanks for calling, Stevie Ray.
Bye.
You know, and it goes back to what Tupac Amaru was just saying. Fascinating nom de plume there. Nom de guerre, I guess, is what it really is. Look at how our system pits working class people against working class people across borders, looking at that issue. Anyway, the number to call, 503-231-8187. Story's back. What do you think, Story?
Okay, I won't take up any. I feel guilty about taking up this much time, but I have to reply to Tubac. I rile when I hear these implications that the American people, as a body, as a whole, have knowingly, with full understanding, been complicit in the victimizing of people of other countries, rather than being it being stated as it really is, that the American people themselves have been victimized by being propagandized by special interests who have pirated the government. And so I mean, I have to respond to his implication. It seems to me that the American people are inherently evil or indifferent or lacking compassion. I think it's to the contrary. It's the American people who have been victimized no less than anyone else by being betrayed by people who haven't adhered to their duty oath, whether they are elected officials or in the military or whatever. So
all right.
I had to say that. Thank you.
All right, Story. Thanks a lot. Story and Tupac, they're putting the big issues on the table. We have one more caller. Nicole's on the line. Nicole, what do you think about the discussion we're having so far?
Well, I think that the issue of Veterans Day is something that we really need to look at its origins. And I think it's more of a government-promoted sort of propagandist kind of thing where we're glorifying war. We have a lot of veterans who have died in service to the people of this country, and they didn't all die
with machine guns, and they didn't all die out in foreign countries trying to promote American interests. We have people who have died who were lawyers, who were fighting for the cause. And we had a criminal defense lawyer, for example, who was recently killed in Portland. We don't know exactly who did it, but she may have died for the Bill of Rights.
Oh, that's right. That woman, yeah.
A lot of heroes out there. And they're not necessarily people who have put on uniforms, and the federal government hasn't seen fit to set up a firefighter's day or a lawyer's day or a prosecutor's day, for that matter. I think that when we look at honoring veterans, we should honor humanity, and I honor those people as human beings who are trying to do what they need to do to survive, and many of them are trying to do the right thing, but not necessarily all of them. And I don't think that we necessarily need to glorify war by glorifying veterans. I think we can glorify them as human beings if they're good human beings and they've done good things on the planet.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
Thanks a lot, Nicole. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. It is the day before Veterans Day. We're talking about veterans, honoring veterans. Tupac Amaru brought up this issue of what about the genocide that our killing machines perpetrate across the planet. We're live on the phone with Jesselyn Radack. She's the Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project, the nation's leading whistleblower organization. And Jesselyn, we just had a whole spate of callers, and I just have to ask, you know, put it to you, you know, in the work that you do with whistleblowers, it seems to me, just at least superficially, that a lot of the whistleblowing that we look at has to do with maybe our military, our government covering up the level of what Tupac called the genocide. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the majority of the whistleblowers that we deal with, the majority, not all, but the majority are blowing the whistle on government. And that's because the government is doing what it does in your name and with your money at the taxpayer expense and in the taxpayer's name. And that's why we hold, you know, government and corporations to a different standard in terms of the oath. I mean, if you're a public servant, you're supposed to be serving the public, not some person or not some political agenda. And I think that's what whistleblowers... You know, again, Thomas Drake spent a decade in the Air Force. He is a former military guy, and he blew the whistle on billions of dollars of government fraud, waste, and abuse at the National Security Agency. I think it's in the public's right to know that. I think we can honor veterans by telling the truth about the war that we're in and about what's being done. I recommend, for example, someone who is a whistleblower who may not think that they are, but Pat Tillman's mother, who was instrumental in getting out the Pat Tillman story, a recently released film about how his death was glorified and aggrandized, contrary to what really happened and contrary to the wishes of the family, in order to sell the war. And I think you honor veterans by being truthful with them and about what is going on, rather than using them as a tool to politically sell a very controversial invasion and occupation of Iraq and a war in Afghanistan. It's a tricky thing. I mean, again, nothing I'm saying at all cast aspersions on the soldiers. I want to honor veterans, but I think we can do that by telling the truth about what's going on, not lying the country into war by claiming that Iraq and Iran are trying to get enriched uranium, not trying to lie about why we're going to war, not lying about what we're doing in the war, and trying to make fake heroes out of people who are just innocent soldiers doing their job, rather than the real heroes, who are the people who are actually fighting the fight and trying to do it properly and in accordance with the law.
Okay,
so
I have to just say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Marianne Barisonic speaks with journalist and political blogger Rose Aguilar about the media's failure to cover women's issues, especially in relation to the recent elections. Your calls are welcome. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. at 10:15 on Flashpoints, a look at the issues raised by the new hearing yesterday for Mumia Abu-Jamal, a look at human rights and justice in Indian-administered Kashmir, and a special report from Haiti on the outbreak of cholera in the capital city. At 10 on The Dirtbag, Jim Gilbert joins host Glenn Andreessen to offer sound fruit tree advice on what to do, when, and how to do it. And of course, it's all organic, plus an explanation of late blight that hit virtually all tomatoes in the Portland area this year, and 38 ways to love your leaves. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're live on the phone with Jessalyn Radak. She's the Homeland Security Director of the Government Accountability Project, the nation's leading whistleblower organization. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. We're looking at these issues around the war. We're looking at these issues around veterans. How do we honor veterans? And of course, Tupac Amaru called up and just put all kinds of big issues on the table that we're looking at right now. What about the genocide that our military is putting together, has been carrying out for almost 10 years in Afghanistan specifically and Iraq? There's also other areas, of course, just like the Vietnam War, Cambodia, that are being impacted by that as well. And, you know, I just want to also say this. As we look, personally, I think the best way to honor veterans is to end the war. End them now. Bring them home, because we're creating new veterans every day. And we're also creating new people who want to kill us every day in the Middle East, not to mention new grave mounds in the Middle East. And here's an issue that has really bothered me, and Tupac actually brought it up. You know, when I see the WikiLeaks documents that were unearthed just before the elections, their takeaway from that was that the body counts in Iraq and Afghanistan, I think actually specifically Afghanistan on that one, were higher than people realized. But to be honest with you, as a journalist who's worked here at KABU specifically to look at those issues of what the body count is, I think actually it's been shown that more than 1 million people, 1.5 million people have been killed, in Iraq, Afghanistan since we invaded Afghanistan. And still, those documents and this discussion has never even touched that number so far. The number of displaced, of course, way bigger. And I, for one, am always going to wonder what happened to Riverbend, the girl blogger from Iraq. Never heard about her again. Never heard from her again. People that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's a subject of a future show. But, you know, here's the thing that strikes me, and Jessalyn, I mean, here's the thing that really strikes me about this whole situation. For people like us, people who are regular people, people who have a lot in common with the people in Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan who are being killed by our drones that were bombing Pakistan during the flood, what was that about? For us, the war is a problem. But for other people, the war is a solution. And I'm talking about the profit motive behind the war. Huge corporations, huge corporate interests, as a number of people have already brought up, are making money hand over fist over the war. And that's the thing that strikes me about it as well, is trying to dig underneath those corporate interests and to try to cut off these corporate interests from the money, this big blizzard of cash from the bottom up. It's going up in this country. Rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. And Jessalyn Radak, I wonder if you could comment or talk a little bit about, you know, we just wrapped up a huge midterm election. We had huge voter participation in this election. I don't recall anybody talking about the war or making it an issue in this election, with the possible exception of the vegan guy from the Midwest who got reelected. What do you think about that, Jessalyn? Why didn't anyone make the war an issue in this election, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans?
I agree. It was very curious, because certainly the war is the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
And nobody wants to talk about, yeah.
Supposedly talking about the Wall Street bailout and health care and their anger over that. And, you know, the elephant in the room is the war. You're right that there's a huge profit motive. A lot of people are getting very wealthy off this war, and a lot of people are getting very wealthy off the entire secrecy industry that has been created in response to 9/11. The Washington Post just had a wonderful series called Top Secret America, about entire cities that have been built in Virginia.
Yeah, that series was really important. They researched it for 2 years, and actually you can still find that online on the Washington Post website. It basically, they're looking at the privatization of war spending, and they basically interviewed people at the top. I feel like they interviewed Gates, right? They interviewed people at the top who said they don't actually know where all the war spending is going, that what's called the black economy.
Exactly. And so, I mean, while we're in an economic recession that is incredibly painful for most people, many millionaires have been made based on the backs of our soldiers and on the backs of people who are trying to do the right thing. This whole industry of secrecy has cropped up, and anyone who tries to question it, like Thomas Drake and a number of others, gets squashed like a bug, get charged criminally. I know Bush tended to be merciless on whistleblowers, but Obama's been even worse because he's actually prosecuting them. He's prosecuted and filed criminal charges against more whistleblowers than the prior three administrations combined. And that's unacceptable. You know, we need to get over our own denial and look at what really matters, because the money being sucked up by this war is hurting people, I would argue, far more than any Wall Street bailout or health care, which has not even been implemented yet.
Not to mention education. That's the thing that really strikes me, too, about why this wasn't brought up during the elections, including by the Democrats. You know, I mean, speaking, I don't know. We've had whole shows about that. What's the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? Again, though, I go back to Tupac Amaru, the nom de guerre guy. You know, we're looking at a genocide. We're looking at a doomsday device that our tax money funds and has created, and how to put the skids on that. And that's why I think it's interesting and important to look at the role that veterans play in the war machine, and look at how, you know, even in this country, veterans are not even getting the services that they were promised. The reason that a lot of people join the military, because they think that they don't have the money to go to school. They don't have money to, in my dad's case, to even pay for food for the family. We have one last caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Aaron.
Hi, I was just...
Yes?
Oh, hello. Yeah, I was just calling to say, I used to live in L.A., and in, like, 1989, there was a real same thing happened. They had this some kind of thing they launched, and it was they launched over the city, like, just before sunset, and it was, you know, had everybody kind of scared and all that, and it left a big rainbow plume across the sky for, like, hours, and it was kind of the same. They just said that they didn't know what it was, and, you know.
All right. All right, Aaron. Thanks a lot. We just have a couple minutes left in the show. Plumes flying through the sky. Government says they don't know what it is. They wouldn't tell us if they did know, and I'm sure that they know exactly what it is. Jesselyn, what's the bottom line when it comes to government secrecy, and what can we as citizens do about it?
I think as citizens, you can advocate for the whistleblower protection reforms that are currently in Congress and stuck in Senate right now. And you can also go to the petition on change.org in favor of Thomas Drake. Learn more about his case. This guy is a modern-day Daniel Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers. I mean, he didn't leak anything, but he's being charged under the Espionage Act and is only the fourth person in the 93-year history of that act to be charged with everything.
All right. All right, Jesselyn, your phone is breaking up. I just want to thank you again for being with us today. And where can people find out more about your organization?
Go to www.whistleblower.org.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us, Jesselyn Raddick. And this has been Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. Special thanks to our engineer, Steve Nassar, and Sky, the studio dog. Tune in again for this show, this time next week. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Lisa.